Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM. And this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Byrne. On this week's programme, we are focusing on the unfolding tragedy of escaping refugees from Syria and Libya. And we'll be speaking to Jane Ann McKenna, Director of Medicine Sans Frontiers Ireland, an organisation that is very much at the coalface of this humanitarian catastrophe. We'll also have an excerpt from the most recent European Commission press briefing on this particular issue. We'll have some new music from Greece and Germany for you as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. Recently, the humanitarian NGO Medicines Sans Frontiers reported an increase in mass drownings at sea and disgraceful behaviour by authorities on European soil, which has put the spotlight on the Mediterranean, where record numbers of people are fleeing brutal wars and insecurity in the Middle East and Africa. At a recent press conference, the Directorate General for Communication of the EU Commission outlined its concern and its intended approach to this historical crisis.
So we're closely monitoring the situation in Greece, particularly in Kos. We have been following the report. Of course, with record numbers of migrants arriving at the Greek borders at the moment, the situation is beyond urgent and requires a collective European response. Commissioner Avramopoulos is in permanent contact with the Greek authorities, including at the highest political levels, on this matter, and has been the past few days. We're, of course, also happy to update you on a daily basis what we're doing to assist the member states on the front line, and also how we can ensure that EU law is being complied with. As you know, earlier this week, we approved the national funding programmes, including for Greece, meaning that the first disbursement of around €30 million from the total of over €474 million should be able to be dispersed rapidly. We've also tripled the resources we devote to our maritime operations to help Greece patrol its borders and also to save lives. Yesterday, Commissioner Avramopoulos wrote to all the Ministers of Interior to ask for more assets to support the ongoing Frontex operations in Greece and in Hungary as well. But obviously, money alone is not going to be what solves this crisis. We also proposed a relocation system to relocate 16,000 people in clear need of international protection from Greece to other EU member states. And we stand ready to assist now should the civil protection mechanism be activated or triggered by Greece, and would call on member states to stand ready to provide immediate assistance should it be needed. Of course, the other side of this coin is that responsibility and solidarity have to go hand in hand. So hotspot teams will be deployed to Greece to help process the large number of asylum applications with the assistance of our agencies, the European Asylum Support Office, Frontex, the Border Agency, Europol, and Eurojust. And of course, should Greece request further emergency funding in the field of asylum and migration, we also stand ready to assist.
In the situation in Kos, the problem is usually leaving thousands of people without water under the sun in the stadium. Now, these things could be able to be sorted out immediately, but Italy and Greece are both faced with management difficulties for incoming immigrants, but Italy doesn't leave them on Lampedusa. Italy brings them to other places. So is this a recurrent problem with Greece? Have you dealt with the problem of reception across the whole of Greece to make sure that people who arrive in Kos can be channeled then onto reception centres which are more equipped to deal with them? And what's the situation with the hot spots? There was an approved request here which should make it possible for European experts and assets to be mobilised to find out who would be able to be accepted as an asylum seeker and who would not. Well, let me take the question on the hotspots first. The hotspots approach is something that we had announced when we agreed the immigration agenda, and we've taken stock of the situation on a number of European Council meetings and Foreign Affairs meetings. It's something which is supported by our member states and which is currently being put in place. We have a task force which is responsible for implementing the approach. It's already up and running in Sicily, Italy, and in the last council on the 20th of July, the JAI Council, the JHA Council, agreed on a roadmap which would be required for the implementation of a hotspot in the Piraeus in Greece, which would be able to implement the hotspot approach in a number of different areas, particularly in the islands, so not just Piraeus. This is something that is being put in place and should be functional very shortly. Now, to come back to your first question, there you were asking about the implementation of European rules on asylum. Well, this is a point we'd repeated in May. On the one side, you have solidarity for those member states on the front line, but on the other hand, you have to have responsibility shown by those member states, and that is something that we are insisting ever more on. Asylum rules are broken, infringement procedures will have to be opened. We have some 30 pending cases for a number of states, including those most directly concerned, to make sure that European asylum law is properly implemented. On the 27th of May, we also published guidelines for digital fingerprint taking. One of the problems, apparently, is that different member states apply these fingerprints taking in different ways. We need to make sure that we have a harmonized European approach to this, and that is why we published guidelines to that end. Over the longer term, we will be reassessing the Dublin system. That'll be in 2016, and that will offer us an opportunity to have a closer look to see whether the system is able to deal with the challenges, whether it is functioning properly, and whether it needs to be revised in any way.
Για μένα φέτος μπορεί και να βρέχει. Θα είναι χειμώνας χωρίς για...
That's a re-entry into the Greek charts by Dionysios Chinas, and it's a track called Tou Kalokeri.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. This week's programme, we are focusing on the unfolding tragedy of escaping refugees from Syria and Libya. And we're speaking now to Jane Ann McKenna, Director of Medicines, Sam Frontiers Ireland. Good afternoon, Jane. Thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Jane Ann, the first question I have to ask you is, why has this tragedy escalated to this stage?
I think what we have seen is that there's, the land borders essentially have been shut.
Yeah.
So people are essentially forced, I suppose, to take boats, to take rickety boats in the Mediterranean in order to reach Europe. And I think, you know, in terms of the provisions that have been made at an EU level, there are plans, you know, for relocating up to 60,000 refugees. And, you know, when we're looking at the actual number of the people that I said who are already crossing this year, it's over 150,000. The commitments from Europe don't match what the actual needs are,
right.
You know. And I think we also need to put into perspective that particularly in Middle East and Africa, you know, it's the neighbouring countries who are hosting the majority of refugees, and it's only a very small percentage that are actually seeking assistance in Europe today.
Indeed. With the figures we have from your own website is 7,000 refugees, asylum seekers and migrants arrived on one island in Greece in Kos over the month of July. And as far as you're concerned, this is like essentially just the tip of the iceberg.
It really is. I think what we've seen in terms of Greece particularly is that there's pretty much an absence of reception facilities. Last week we saw in the news about how people were essentially put into a football stadium in order without any food or water in order to be registered for over 48 hours. And for us, this kind of treatment of refugees, of those who are arriving, is less than ideal and is absolutely, you know, it needs to be condoned, cannot be condoned. So I think that we need to look at what type of conditions we're offering to refugees once they arrive into Europe, and ensuring that they can apply, if possible, for asylum or for refugee status once they arrive. We've seen not only in Kos but in other areas of Greece that people are living, you know, in makeshift hotels out in the open with no access to water or food or provision of services. And we need to ensure that, you know, Europe is also responsible for these people who are arriving into Greece or indeed into Italy on a daily basis. So we saw only a couple of weeks ago where there hundreds of people were killed in that capsizing accident in the Mediterranean. And that is just indicative of, you know, what is actually the risk that people are facing every day. And we've seen that every day people continue to die either from drowning or from asphyxiation or from dehydration as well from the journey. And, you know, this is something that our teams, the MSF teams on the ground, encounter on a regular basis. So, you know, there's a huge level of desperation in terms of the people that are using this method to try and come over into Europe, but also ensuring that they actually can get the medical assistance that they need also. We're seeing a lot of people with psychological trauma,
right,
who have, you know, survived the journey, but in fact witnessed others that have not been so lucky and who have died in the process.
And as regards, I mean, your volunteers, Médecins Sans Frontières, their volunteers, have they seen anything like this before? I mean, your guys are involved in an awful lot of conflict situations.
Yeah.
Have you seen the, what, I mean, is this as bad as it gets, Jane Ann?
It really is, you know. This is the first time we've engaged in search and rescue operations, and we have 3 search and rescue boats at the moment in the Mediterranean patrolling the shores close to the Libyan border and actually providing assistance from there. And, you know, but we, as you mentioned, you know, we work in a lot of conflict areas throughout the world, in the Middle East, in Africa, and in a lot of the countries of origin of where these refugees are fleeing. And we know the reality of what they face on a daily basis and why they are fleeing. You know, that they have there's a huge level of suffering that is happening in many places, such as Syria, such as Somalia, and other countries. And, you know, people will always try to seek a better life for themselves and to seek protection as well from persecution. And, you know, that is one of the reasons why we see people moving all the way up through Africa and into taking their lives in their hands and going
Indeed.
Into these boats and crossing the Mediterranean.
Jane, now, what would your organisation like to see being done straight away, right now?
Right now, we'd like to see a couple of things. We'd like to see more search and rescue operations in the Mediterranean, because Medicine Sans Frontières is now doing 15% of all rescues that have been done. So it's quite a high percentage for an independent organisation that's dependent on individual donations from the public, you know, to do our work. We're also looking for better reception centres. So the reception centres in Greece are below par, but also in Italy, you know, they tend to be overcrowded and not resourced enough in terms of the level of assistance and the provision of services that is needed, and matching the actual the volume of people that are arriving. But then I suppose ultimately what we are looking for is for the EU to create safe and legal channels for people to arrive. There has to be a means for people to be able to seek asylum or seek refuge in Europe without taking their lives in their hands and coming through on boats in the hands of smugglers.
And what about as regards their input into the conflict itself? I mean, obviously a lot of people are saying that should be the first port of call for them to get involved in the actual conflict and try to come across with some sort of resolution for these conflicts.
Of course, you know, and I think that, you know, that all of not only Ireland, but, you know, the EU member states, you know, should ensure that they are using all diplomatic means possible to address some of these huge humanitarian issues that are coming across as a result of these crises. But I think we also have a duty here in Europe to ensure that when people do arrive on our doorstep, that we have, we don't engage in refoulement or sending back refugees or not having providing sufficient assistance to those who require our help.
Indeed, it was a historical moment of shame during the Second World War when we did refuse, when Ireland actually refused boatloads of Jews fleeing from Nazi terror, and I think it's still a blot on our character here, so we definitely don't want to be sort of involved in that situation again, I'm sure.
Yes, and I know that I think the efforts of the Elie Neve are having a huge impact, and you know, it's a very positive step for Ireland that we are engaged in that.
Yeah.
But we need to look a little bit beyond just the search and rescue operations of what else we can do at a European level and also here in Ireland to ensure that people who do arrive, who survive that journey, essentially get the assistance they require.
And for ordinary people, Jainan, what would you like to see? Obviously, you have on your website, you have a donate button. That's obviously one thing that they can do. Anything else that ordinary people can do immediately?
I think it's key. You know, we are absolutely dependent on public donations to do our work, and we wouldn't be able to be in the Mediterranean now or to work in the reception centre without the support of our donors. So if anybody is interested in donating, you know, just to log on to our website, msf.ie, or indeed if anyone actually just wants to find out more, a little bit more about what we're doing and how we do it and some of the activities that we're doing in the Mediterranean, in Greece, in Italy, and also throughout the world, to log on to our website also.
And as regards volunteers, Jainan, I just had a quick look at your own bio there. You're an extraordinary woman, I have to tell you, from how you came through the whole ranks and how you got involved in things like this. As regards volunteers themselves, is there an opportunity there for people to volunteer with your organisation, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we take on a number of volunteers a year to work overseas with us. So we look for a variety of professions, not only medical doctors and nurses, but also engineers, pharmacists, accountants, administrators, you know, everybody else that's also needed to provide the support in order for us to be able to do the medical activities. And so anybody who is interested in working with us overseas can also look at our website, msf.ie, and find out more about what we require and what are the requirements for those professions and those postings in the field, and to inquire with us if you want to know any more.
Indeed. Well, as you said, we know you're involved in a huge amount of conflict and issues like this right throughout the world, Jainan. But as you said, for the moment, the tragedy that is unfolding in the Mediterranean is your main source, point of concern at the moment.
Yes, yeah. No, it is. And, you know, there are, you know, we also are working in places like Yemen, in Syria also, and in sub-Saharan Africa, whereas particularly in South Sudan, where, you know, conflict is a reality every day. So, you know, we don't want to take from that, you know, in terms of that is a huge level of our work that we do on the ground. But also, we just find it very extremely unacceptable that Europe can turn its back on people who are essentially arriving on its shores on a daily basis because of these conflicts, and we need to make sure that we could do more for them.
Jane Ann, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today, and the best of luck with everything that you have going on there. We'll put up some contact details on the social platforms that we have so for our listeners to engage with you. But for the moment, Jane Ann McKenna, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Also at the recent press conference, the Directorate General for Communication of the EU Commission outlined the Commission's approach to the ongoing peace talks on Libya by the UN.
First of all, of course, we are fully supporting the UN-led talks and the negotiations which are ongoing toward the Government of National Accord. And we as well confirmed many times our readiness to support such a Government of National Accord as soon as it is established, to help all Libyans to reap the benefits of this agreement towards peace, stability. So we are ready to help in a different range of area that I can't detail now, because obviously we need it first to make sure that the negotiations will, I mean, to follow up the negotiations. But what I can tell is that we would be ready in particular to help with capacity and institutional building to national and local authority with a view to assist notably the rapid resumption of basic services if the Libyan authority requires so.
Manchmal fühle ich mich hier falsch wie ein Segelschiff im All. Aber bist du mit mir an Bord, bin ich gerne durchgeknallt. Selbst der Stau auf der A2 ist mit dir blitzschnell vorbei. Und die Plörre von der Tanke schmeckt wie Kaffee auf Hawaii. Yeah. Auch wenn ich schweig, du weißt Bescheid. Ich brauch gar nichts sagen, ein Blick reicht. Und wird uns der Alltag hier zu grau? Pack ich dich ein, wir sind dann mal raus. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst. Bei dir kann ich ich sein, verträumt und verrückt sein. Na 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 na. Danke Lieblingsmensch, schön, dass wir uns kennen. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst. Bei dir kann ich ich sein, verträumt und verrückt sein. Darf's erfahren, aber dir vertraue ich's an, weil du's sicher aufbewahrst. Meine Area 51, manchmal drehen wir uns im Kreis, aus einer Kleinigkeit wird Streit, aber mehr als 5 Minuten kann ich dir nicht böse sein, yeah. Mach ich dir was vor, fällt's dir sofort auf. Lass ich mich hängen, dann baust du mich auf. Manchmal wiegt der Alltag schwer. Sind wir zu zweit, scheint alles so leicht. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst. Bei dir kann ich ich sein, verträumt und verrückt sein. Na 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 na. Danke Lieblingsmensch, schön, dass wir uns kennen. Zeiten ändern sich und wir uns gleich mit. Du und ich, so jung auf diesem alten Polaroid-Bild. Das letzte Mal, als wir uns sahen, ist viel zu lang her. Doch jetzt lachen wir, als wenn du nie weg gewesen wärst. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst. Bei dir kann ich ich sein, verträumt und verrückt sein. Na 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 na. Danke Lieblingsmensch, schön, dass wir uns kennen. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst.
That's the track entitled Lieblingsmensch by German artist Namika. And that's at number 4 in the German charts this week. Well, I'm afraid that's all we had time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to Director of Médecins Sans Frontières Ireland, Jane Ann McKenna, for taking the time out of her very, very busy schedule to talk to us here on Europe Today. If you want to get in contact with the programme, you can give us a ring on 865 8020. That's 865 8020. You can text us on 087 977 1032. That's 087 977 1032. And of course, don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme, plus the links to the various items that we mentioned on today's programme. Hopefully you can join us again at the same time next week here on 103.2 Dublin City FM and your programme Europe Today.